Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised.
Loveline with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board certified specialist. All righty. Mimi Rogers. The great Mimi Rogers.
Could be coming in right
perfect
now.
Perfect timing because I said the great Mimi Rogers right as Mimi Rogers walked into the room. Nice to meet you, Mimi. Have a seat. Put your headphones on, or as we like to call them in radio, cans. Because makes
these
us,
are actually the cans.
Yes.
Next, they got to turn your microphone.
Engineer
be good.
Chris can turn that mic on.
There we go.
So these are the cans.
Those are the cans.
And what do we call this?
A microphone.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah, but I think
in my business too.
I think what's called a mic.
A mic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We are professionals, right?
Yeah. Yeah. You guys use microphones in your business. Your business being the movie business. But have you done much TV in your long career?
Oh yeah.
So I always think of, when I think Mimi Rogers, I think movie star.
Right?
Yes, that's what I think.
And the list is
big time movie star.
Yeah,
there is a good list, but I have a pretty good TV list, too.
Yeah.
I actually started, my very first professional job was the last 4 hours of the first season of Hill Street Blues.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
And I was forgetting and just being refreshed that you were in The Doors, one of my all-time favorite movies. And always thought Val Kilmer should have got an Academy Award for becoming Jim Morrison, by the way.
Yeah, that was a pretty amazing performance. It really was.
Yeah, and I never understood why the Academy didn't... To me, it's a taller order to become somebody we're already familiar with rather than playing some guy who paints with his foot and has a problem with scotch who we don't know. Like, what I mean is...
No, let's not diss Daniel, because Daniel had it coming. But I agree, because...
I just mean in general...
No, what Val did in taking on Jim Morrison, that you either succeed grandly or you fail completely. And that's a very dangerous, you know, proposition. And he did. He succeeded grandly.
I love The Doors, and about 45 seconds into the movie, he was Jim Morrison.
He was done,
and then we're able to get on with the movie.
Yeah.
It was not a distraction at all. And he was actually like a little more Jim Morrison than actually Jim Morrison.
That was a lot more interesting.
Yeah, it's like I'm a little more Gilbert Godfrey than he is. Just a little bit more. I'm a little better version.
You're kind of tall.
I'm rangy.
Gilbert.
Oh. Please, you understand what it's like going through life having that as the one guy I compare it to. Occasionally, I get called the ugly Pete Sampras, which I'm so happy for.
That's a good one.
And but by the way, isn't that just being cruel when they have to put the ugly in front of an attractive person, and then they go, I can't just look like Pete Sampras. I got
to
be the ugly. I got to be the ugly Pete Sampras.
I would have to take issue. I disagree.
They don't say less handsome.
No. This is Jimmy Kimmel. He says you're the ugly.
That's a different thing.
He says the ugly Pete Sampras. Like if Pete Sampras got like some kind of industrial accident,
in
a mill or something,
acid on the face, that kind of thing.
Yes, like the beginning of a horror movie. Huge vat. You know, him screams, the doctors, multiple surgeries, that thing where they remove the gauze from my head, and then they have the POV of me looking up at a bunch of nurses crying and shunning. That's me.
That's you. Okay.
But look at this. I'll tell you this. And, you know, I come to talk about Mimi Rogers, but I got full.
You have more hair.
I got a full head.
You got more hair than Pete Sampras.
Yeah, now who's the ugly Pete Sampras?
Pete Sampras
is the ugly Pete Sampras.
That is hair, right?
That's hair.
Yeah.
But have you seen his wife?
Thank you. Yeah, Pete Sampras got to marry that super hot blonde actress Bridget, who was like
Norwegian.
I don't know. We worked together on a miniseries with Peter Gallagher, and
another great guy, by the way. We had him up there.
Yes, he is
a great guy. And I'm blanking for some weird reason on her last name because now I just think of Sampras.
Bridget Sampras,
but she is a sweetheart, and she is.
Smoking.
Ridiculously gorgeous.
Yeah, and
he did well there.
I think did like a Phoebe Catesy kind of thing, which is got Bridget married Wilson. And said, Bridget Wilson, yeah.
Yes, thank you, Bridget Wilson.
And said, I'm going to take a few years off. And that's another reason I hate
and
Pete
had
Sampras.
The baby and
yeah.
ridiculously I don't happy.
Listen,
all that
let me tell you, let me just put a word out to all you celebrity dudes out there. You highfalutin guys with your fat bank accounts and your Bentley.
Wait, isn't that you?
That is true. I'm literally a millionaire.
Oh, okay.
That's true.
Right. Except
but
you.
I'll tell you
Except
what I don't
you.
Do. I'll tell you what. Okay, there's a couple things I want to do, Mimi.
Okay,
and
what,
besides
baby?
Plug the movie. But okay. These are a couple things I'd like
we
to do
get
in
to
this
the
country.
Movie.
I would like to stop these hot celebrity guys, the Pete Sampras's, and the what's his name who married Phoebe Cates, and they grab them. And they get them off the streets. They knock them up. Before you know it, they're not strutting around topless in movies anymore.
They're
home playing mommy.
They're in a cage.
They're watching Thomas the Tank Engine and gone
yeah.
off the market.
That's cruel.
Yeah,
it
I don't
is.
Need that.
Cruel.
Yeah,
at least wait till they're,
yeah, wait
like
they're in
their late 30s or 40s
yeah.
or 50s. Yeah.
What Adam does is he insists his wife works and then demeans her job.
I love that.
That's
what him. Yeah, that's his thing.
No wonder she likes you so much.
Oh yeah. Yeah, because I'm like bad daddy.
Okay. Has anybody here actually drunk the Mummy's Passion tea?
No. Where did they get this?
Why
novelty
mummy?
Tea? What
Mummy's
is this?
Mummy's Passion.
Orchid.
Orange Fountain or Long Island Cola?
No. And I
suggest you don't do it.
Don't go there. It's the finest fruit tea.
That's got to come from your publicist because we do not have anything like that in this building.
No, I guarantee it's not.
Oh, really?
All right,
give it a try.
Tell me what you think. That's got kind of a tropical.
All right, let's plug.
Let's talk about
let's
the movie.
Plug. Let's plug the door and the floor,
initially
which I've been hearing about with
Kim I read about here. It, the glowing
How about
report.
That, LA
yeah.
Times?
Glowing
Did you
report.
Happen to see the New York Times?
I had them both sitting in front of me as a matter of fact.
New York Times? I mean, yeah. two of
well,
the...
Well, la-di-da, yeah. with I can read.
Hey,
bragging with
all
the
right,
reading.
Shut up for a minute.
Go ahead.
Two of the best reviews I think I have ever seen for a film.
Really?
And
they were glowing.
They were, and you know what was interesting about them?
They're glowing about the acting and the performances.
That's yeah, and particularly about Mr. Bridges,
yes,
which we're going to get
they
to.
Went on
but
and on about.
I'll tell you what I loved about those two reviews in particular is besides the fact that they were love letters to our film, they were actually quite beautifully written as pieces of literature.
Mm-hmm.
Both of them were beautifully written, but this is a movie.
But that is maybe just kissing the ass of the journalist, just in case there's another go-around.
No, well done.
It's good.
Smart. All right. You can make props
were.
For that.
They actually were.
They were beautifully written. Yeah. Can't get my jacket
You know what's interesting?
Here.
I kind of expect that from the New York Times. LA Times is like, oh, hey, what's this?
Hey, we're, and, you know, I think she's leaving, unfortunately.
Who wrote it?
That wonderful woman, you know, you're asking me at 10 o'clock at night to remember
Wonderful woman.
Names.
True, would you shut up? Nobody knows who wrote that.
Let's talk about...
No, there's one that I think may have written this.
Her name
starts with an M.
We got a stone 14-year-olds in Idaho. Do you think they don't know...
All right, let's talk about...
They never heard of Dickens.
Her kids in my class.
Okay.
Well, go kiss her ass on your own time, then.
Here's what will help you, then, for your audience that we're all talking to.
That's right.
Yes, it's a beautiful, literate, serious film with wonderful entertainment value and lots of comedy and three naked movie stars, okay?
Really?
That's right. We're all naked.
Was it Claudia Puig? Did she write it?
No.
No.
It starts with an M.
Okay.
It's just so glad that you learned your lesson.
Kim's naked. Jeff's naked.
Really?
I'm naked.
Really?
We're all naked.
Prove it.
Well, go see the movie, fella.
Oh, okay. That's how
we're
that
talking
works.
Full frontal.
I'm full frontal for you, Kim, and Jeff?
Only for me.
Oh, really?
Jeff and Kim are quite nude. I'm completely nude.
Have you've done a little of that in your day? Never.
I've never been completely nude on screen.
But partially. Okay.
I've been partially nude on screen.
And never an issue as long.
Do you
long...
think everybody's going to go see the movie now?
I do.
I mean, great reviews, and we're naked.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. It's done. We can talk about other things the rest of the night.
No,
yeah.
But let's go home.
Or you go home. You're done.
Well, our listeners have wanted to see Bridges naked since the Fabulous Baker Brothers.
His tushy, I got to tell you, is very cute.
I'll tell you, he's not bad in person. Jeff Bridges, by the way, I ran
gives
into.
Gives his best performance.
Really?
It's saying a lot because he's a brilliant actor, but no kidding. I think it's his best performance ever. I'm on a personal mission to make sure this guy wins an Academy Award.
Wow.
You know, you talk about Val Kilmer inhabiting a character completely. What Jeff does in this movie, it's so organic that you almost can't believe it. There's just, like, not a false note anywhere. Mm-hmm. And it is, in the great John Irving tradition, it is tragicomic. I mean, you're dealing with a very heavy subject matter. You're dealing with a couple who is trying to cope with the loss of their two teenage sons. And the ways that people cope with grief. Some people can move on, some people can't. You wouldn't expect there to be a lot of humor in a movie with this at its core, and yet
That's the most organic and best kind of humor, though. It comes out of the poignant human experience.
Exactly.
Is Kim Basinger, is she nutty? Not in a real bad way, but...
Not in a real bad way.
But she's a little... She seems cuckoo to me. Not bad cuckoo.
Like most of us artists, I think Kim is probably high-strung. She's brilliant in this film. She's freakishly beautiful.
Yeah, she's really...
I kind of can't even believe it when I look at her.
She's getting better
with
age.
But she's also great. It's interesting. We never crossed paths shooting this film.
We were
never in the same scenes, so I literally did not see her for the entire time.
Did you hear any nutty stories or anything?
When is this being released?
It's already out.
It opened yesterday in very limited release, and it's opening wider this weekend. Okay. But it's at the Arclight, and it's at the Royal here in L.A.
Sold out screenings.
Arclight,
by the way. And don't wait, Drew, just quiet down. I'm gonna give the plugs. I was in the middle of trying to find out if Kim Basinger is cuckoo or not.
Yeah, I'm trying to get you off that path.
Who cares?
I mean, would you care if Kim showed up at your door whether she was cuckoo or not?
Different question.
Would you care?
No, I wouldn't, except for Alec Baldwin's my only celebrity friend. Drew.
Yes.
Well, then you might have a problem.
Yeah. And Jeff Bridges, by the way, who I ran into.
Nicest human being alive.
Great guy. Ran into him at the Playboy Mansion 4 years ago. Yeah. Ran up to me, was begging to do this show. Yeah. And
publicist said no.
Here's how this show works, just in case. I don't know what happened to your publicist, but here's how it works. People don't beg to come on this show very often.
Oh, come on. Who do you have to blank to get on this show?
There's a handful of times. I will never exaggerate. There's plenty of celebrity ass I kiss and whatever. I was at the Playboy Mansion. Jeff Bridges saw me, came over, said he was a huge fan of the show, said he would love to do the show. Was actually coming out with a record at the time. So he probably wanted a little airtime.
Sure,
yeah.
Sure.
And he said, I would love to come on your radio show. And I said, we would love to have you. And he said, well, here's the number and the guy and the whatever, and let's make it happen. Fantastic. And producer Ann made a phone call, and the publicist said that the show, it didn't bode with Jeff's...
image.
Yeah, like it was like it didn't bode with his sensibilities.
Oh, but really? Can I tell you how drunken Jeff Bridges
said to me at the Playboy Mansion when he tackled me on the lawn at the Grotto?
I know Jeff Bridges.
How dare they?
Jeff Bridges does fit the profile of this show, absolutely.
I know. It's the
dude.
It's the horrible publicist.
See, I don't have a publicist. There you go.
That's why I love you. It's the god-awful, wretched publicists that ruin this city, that keep the Jeff Bridgeses
away from these people in your ears.
Yes.
Are there really people out there listening to us, or is this just like kind of...
We'll start the show in a couple minutes.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
But if there are listening, New York, Atlanta, Boston, L.A., Chicago, Dallas, we have people in those cities. Denver, Houston, Detroit, Portland, San Diego, those are cities where you can see this movie now.
And you must see it.
Yes.
I mean, all kidding aside, this is worth the however much money they're charging now for a ticket. You will be wildly entertained, and you will see us naked.
Amber, that's a good good segue to calls. Amber?
Yeah?
You're 18?
Yeah.
What's up?
I have a boyfriend, obviously, and we've been going out for like 5 months. And before we met, he was like this big time stoner kid, and he used to go to parties and with his girlfriend before me. He would like have sex with her and stuff like that. And then I went away for a while, and I came back, and he supposedly found his faith in God. Mm-hmm. And he quit, like, smoking weed and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And we started off with, like, a, you know, non-sexual relationship. But then, like, one day, out of the blue, he's just like, hey, you know what? Let's go smoke weed and have sex and stuff like that. And
Amber, that's...
Boner
that's,
trumps God every time.
It's not even just that, which is often the case. It's that he's a marijuana addict, and marijuana is very addictive for some people.
Well, how do you know he's an addict?
He's going back from God.
He's a big stoner, to describe what she said.
All right, yeah. But how old is he?
He's 17. I mean, he's 17. Not like a big-time stoner to where he, like, smokes every day. It's not like that. It's just, like, you
It
know,
sounds to me like maybe he's a little young for you, because it sounds like he's still sort of finding himself or not.
And by the way, when you're an 18-year-old chick going out with a 17-year-old guy, even though it's 1 year, that's...
It's a big
That's
year.
A quantum leap
yeah.
backwards.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
But
not to mention illegal.
Yeah, you should be dating
well, she's
like
the 18.
That.
She's the 18.
Well, he's
yeah, but it's illegal.
He's 18
17.
In November, so it's not
if they're having sex.
Okay. But
actually, not in California,
sweetie,
in Arizona.
You should be going out with like a producer in his early 50s. That's all I'm saying.
But Amber, the deal is, here's what I want to just make the point, is that that if, let's say, he is addicted to marijuana or he is an alcoholic who's getting going with his disease, if turning to the church was all that was required to deal with that disease, that's where we'd send everybody. But the fact is, unfortunately, that doesn't tend to hold people and the disease reemerges, and that I believe, in my estimation, what's happening with him right now.
And
all right.
AA would probably be a good idea.
There you go.
That couldn't hurt.
M-A-A-A, some sort
right.
of 12-step.
So how about that?
Oh, okay. But
take him to a 12-step program.
how would I tell him to do that? I mean, because, you know, when he changes his mind, he
tell him you love him and that he needs to get help.
You hate it when you smoke pot. Hate it when you drink. You're
yes.
not
you're
what
17.
I'm into. You can't control it. They're the
yeah.
people can help.
And he gets no more sex.
Let me
tell you, it's like the vagina is to the teenage boy what herring is to the whale you're trying to train.
That's a real stretch. The killer whale.
It's like
wow, what an analogy.
The sea lion.
The sea lion. I like your rollover. Hey, F you. Hey, look at this herring. All right, I'll do it. That's how it works. That's the relationship. You gotta
be
the guy.
If he wants to be involved with you, he needs to take a look at what he's doing with drugs and alcohol.
Right. You probably train guys using the same clicker if they knew the clicker
meant
vagina instead of herring.
click, click.
Yeah, you know, because that's how they do it with those, with all this, the porpoises and all that
stuff.
The
thing is, with men, though, that's a positive reinforcer, the clicker. We need to let them know the clicker means it's going away.
Yeah.
Can I say that?
I guess so. I think you can. That's right. That one click means it's leaving. Right.
I couldn't have said it better.
That's who it is. By the way, not a bad title for the next movie. You're not going to get to see Kim and Mimi naked that much longer either. That will be the title of the next movie. And in this movie, The Door and the Floor, there's nudity. And those of you who've been clamoring to see Jeff Bridges naked for a while.
It's the chance.
Yeah. And he only gets
it's
better with age, too.
Three for one.
Yeah.
Three
All
for
right.
one.
Let's.
And great acting, you know, if you're interested.
Carl?
Yeah.
I see this film.
You're 14?
Yeah.
What's happening?
All right. So every time.
Let me say this, too, about the arc light over there. I love that Arclight Theater. That's
yeah.
where it's playing out here in Los Angeles. It'll ruin you.
And also at the Royal.
It'll ruin you for other theaters because it's just everything is laid out.
Right on
so
you.
The sight lines, everything's great. But I'll tell you this. They got the caramel corn over there, which is really, it's heroin.
Yeah.
And it draws you in like a cartoon. Yeah. Like you know.
Hey, can I tell you something?
Yeah. Yes?
I just realized tomorrow night at the Arclight, after the 7:30 showing, I'm going to be making a live appearance to do a Q&A with the audience.
Wow.
We are.
That's
yeah.
cool.
It's after the 7:30
yeah.
showing.
People who go to the 7:30 showing, stay in your seats because I will be there and I will be doing a Q&A with the audience.
And
that is a nice deal.
So at the Arclight out here in Los Angeles on Sunset. It's on Sunset, right? Yeah. Anyway, the point is they got that caramel corn there, and it's heroin. And what you do, it draws you in, and you get the one caramel corn bucket, and you get the one regular bucket, and you kind of do that dip, that back and forth, the salty and the whatever.
That's how it starts.
Last time I was there, out of the caramel corn, and it was like I was like Fred Sanford with the heart attack at the concession stand. Like
concession.
It's like you know when you've been thinking when it's been running through your mind since like 4 that afternoon, and by the time 10 o'clock rolls around and you pull up to the counter, it's like give me the large bucket of the caramel. Yeah, we're out of that. I was like grabbing.
That's why you go to
lapels.
The 7:30 show.
Yeah, because they ain't out of it. Yeah, let me just tell you something. Restaurants and places don't run out of S. It's a stake in the heart
when it's good.
When it's good. Yeah. Yeah. All right. Let's keep on keeping on here. Mimi Rogers in studio tonight. She's going to be at the Arclight tomorrow night after 7:30 showing, talking about and probably just being covered with roses as people yell, bravo.
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jessica?
Hi.
Jessica?
Yes. Can you hear me?
You're 23. Yes. Go ahead.
All right, my question is basically about a psychological disease that I think my father has. I'm hoping that I don't inherited. I know it's not genetic, but besides from him being an alcoholic, I think that he's a sociopath. And
what makes you think that?
Well, I know that sociopaths have lost all feeling of remorse and guilt and love, mm-hmm. and they pretty much lose that at a young age, maybe like 15 or 16.
Or sometimes younger.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he probably did. I don't really know, but I definitely think that's him.
Yeah. Addicts can be sociopaths. There's something called Cluster B personality disorders. It's very common amongst alcoholic addicts. Borderline personality, sociopathy, and narcissist.
I get the Cluster F.
Are you having any kind of a dangerous situation with him?
No, not really. He's actually lost all contact with me.
Here's the deal. He may just be an alcoholic.
Yeah.
And even if he is a sociopath...
Or just a good old-fashioned a-hole.
If he is able to find his way into recovery...
Cluster A personality.
These character problems do get better. They do get better. So you can just sort of pray for that. And otherwise, what are you going to do? You have to stay
otherwise, just keep your distance. There's absolutely nothing to be gained by being in contact.
That's what I actually have been doing. I think he's a sociopath is because he has had, since I've known him, a very, very hard time being faithful to anybody he's with. He cheated on my mother for years, and he's been cheating on my stepmother since I got married, and that's basically why he doesn't talk to me anymore. I kind of told her that he had a girlfriend.
Don't
let his legacy be you having effed up relationships with males because he was such a mess.
Focus on the positive people in your life, and the ones that are really negative, you just have to let them go. And if they come around someday, great.
We sit around all day listening to public service announcements talking about getting your laptop computer stolen at the airport or not to smoke on the beach. But where are the public service announcements that just basically say, especially to the women, because guys are a little better at this. Probably we're thicker skinned or we don't care or we're hollow inside. The woman whose daddy ain't treating her right, never did, and just can never let it go, wants to win him back, wants to change him, wants to confront him, wants to fix him.
Or do that in her romantic life with a peer.
Well, that's the thing. You find your father to have a relationship with so you can fix him.
Yes.
Don't do that. Please. The message is don't do that. Yeah, just find somebody who's quite different.
If the limb, it's got gangrene, cut it off, get a prosthetic and move forward. And that's it.
Don't find a man whose approval you have to work hard to get.
And also, by the way, the guy's already done enough damage to your life. Do you want it to go on for another 20 years?
Keep going back and expecting a different result?
No. That's it. He's bad. You know it. Free yourself up and surround yourself with good people.
Just as a general sort of rule of thumb, if somebody has been a horrible, horrible addict and made you miserable and had caused you a lot of pain, support their recovery, but don't get actively involved if they've been out of your life for a long time. Until they've got about 6 months under their belt, just let them focus on their recovery and you focus on your life and then bring it back.
All right. We have to take ourselves a little break. Mimi Rogers in studio tonight. The Door on the Floor, the name of the highly acclaimed movie.
Brilliant.
It is out in limited release and it's going to head out wide release soon. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam, that's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Mimi Rogers in here tonight. The Door in the Floor, the name of her new movie. It is out in most of the major cities, most of the cities we're in. And then it will have a wide release very soon, especially when the people in the cities that it's in now go out and see it.
And say, it's so brilliant.
It's brilliant. And like I said, New York Times and LA Times, great review. Drew read them both while he was, he rolled up the Utney Reader and shoved it up his rectum while he was reading those two papers just to absorb information. I know how you are, Drew.
I have to multitask. And I figured out that's how you get more information in.
Meanwhile.
Rectal absorption?
The Tuka, yeah.
Yes. You can take alcohol in that way. You can take medication in that way. And you can also take information.
That's exactly my reasoning. That's my reasoning.
What's the difference between a vodka bong rectally and some good literature?
And Harper's.
That's right, and Harper's. Yeah, yes. And if you're a guy like Drew, Drew could take he could take the phone book. He could take the Tokyo phone book.
Okay.
He's got that much room.
Okay.
All right. Trying to think of a populated city. All right, Mimi Rogers in here, everyone. It's a little ass humor. Nothing wrong with a little ass humor.
Are you English?
No, mm-hmm. I should be, though. I know. I speak the Queen's English. You know, I was getting jealous. I was taking a leak down the hall. We share the station here with Arrow, the classic rock station. And as I was taking a leak, the DJ's like, here's a little something called Stairway to Heaven. And I thought, what a gig. This guy can go home, have sex with his old lady, stop at the Denny's, grab a Grand Slam, come back, take a quick nap. They're just getting into, like, the flute solo by then, you know. I mean, what a great gig. Like, when you're a DJ and you're playing the classic rock station and you've got Stairway to Heaven on the rotation, you know what I mean? I mean, that's it. You go out. What do you got to do? You got to make a run? You got to return some library books? Go to the dry cleaners? That's right. Barry Lyndon's playing down at the Royal. You want to check that out? It's only a four-hour movie. We got plenty of time. All right. No, I'll tell you what's playing at the Royal.
Door in the Floor.
That's right.
Door in the Floor, starring Jeff Bridges and Kim Basinger and Mimi Rogers.
That's right. And let me tell you something about Bridges. Not only a wonderful ass, I mean, you know, rear end, not only a fine actor, that doesn't quite get his due, I don't believe.
That's why I say I am on a personal mission. It's I think, a crime that he hasn't been given the Oscar.
He gets respect.
Great respect.
But he doesn't get mentioned in that breath. He's not that top.
I don't want to sound too artsy-fartsy, but
please.
I think the thing is, he's so unassuming.
Mm-hmm.
He's so kind of egoless in a way, and he sort of disappears so far inside these characters that he plays that people mistakenly think
he's playing himself or something.
They don't get how deep and how complicated and how brilliant the work is because he makes it look too easy.
Mm. Yeah.
And this time, it's going to happen.
Yeah.
It's my mission.
All right.
Will you help me?
I'm a huge fan. Ever since he wanted to come on the show 5 years ago, and still hasn't been here. But
the Great Lebowski. Come on.
Yeah, he doesn't get his due. That's all I'm saying. Carl.
Yeah.
You're 14.
Yeah.
What's up?
Hey, it's great to talk to you. Really
talk to you
a lot.
Thanks,
and Drew, you're an excellent, excellent man. Admire the passion.
Thank
you,
Carl.
He's a passionate man.
Yeah. Every time I beat off, afterwards, I feel really guilty, and I want to throw away all my, you know, stuff that I use.
Yeah, right.
And, this is the Corolla syndrome.
Yeah.
Shouldn't be feeling guilty.
Oh, Adam,
no,
is very guilty.
I make the
and
proclamation, never again.
And
stand up, raise your hand.
Never again. Said that 22,000 times.
So you're having to go through this guilt like 5, 6, 8 times a day?
Not quite that.
No, a week, be fair.
All right.
He's 14. A day.
If this was normal.
Yeah. And now, what are you good for? Once a day?
One or two.
One or two. All right.
There is no guilt, honey.
Are you religious? Is your family religious?
Very little.
Very little?
Where's the guilt coming from?
Yeah, why are you feeling guilty?
I don't know. I just feel like I just lose everything, and I feel like I should get rid of it all.
Porn, you mean?
He's just
Your dirty magazines?
He just wants to hear himself talk on the radio. He doesn't really care.
I think there are a lot of young guys that feel like they're doing something bad and feel sort of like dirty or they did something wrong or they shouldn't have to do that. There's a kind of quality to it sometimes.
Yeah.
You get over that.
I used to feel dirty.
You will get over it.
Yeah.
And then I invented a little something I called the belly bib. And then I didn't feel dirty anymore. Yeah. It's much better. It's if you used to be a
crew.
Oh,
Lordy.
I thought it was the Zamboni.
The belly Zamboni?
Yeah.
I did invent that, too. Yeah. I'll tell you, if you feel dirty, you do it in the shower. It really helps. But let me just tell you something. Put some of them non-skid daisies stuck onto the floor because they'll find you. You know what I mean? Because because here's what'll happen. Because I'm for sure this is how they're gonna find me. They're gonna find me clutching the shower curtain, water still running, blood going down the drain like a Hitchcock film. What happened? He lost his footing at the point of ecstasy. He clipped the soap dish on the way down, put a 6-inch gash in the side of the head, and he could have been there for months. We don't know.
What
the water's kept his body fresh.
No autoerotic asphyxiation for you, baby.
No.
You're going down happy.
He'd die the first time he tried
Let me tell you something. My grandmother gave me a heads up on the autoerotic asphyxiation thing.
Your grandmother.
Yeah. How old was she at the time?
Oh, this was a, you know, I must have been 18. she was probably 76
and
or
what
something.
What did she say exactly?
Did she say to you?
She's like, well, you know, Graham's like, I read an article in, oh, Christ. You know, by the way, you know, whenever the grandmother starts with, I read an article in, it's always, it's time for you to just start running the other direction.
Screaming.
You know, they're making these amphetamines out of, you know, so it's, I read an article in the New Yorker about, or whatever the hell she was reading. It's either that, okay. The other good one my grandmother does is she clips out bad cartoons. And then shows them to him, and I have to act amused. Like, yes. It's a, here's a picture. So I clipped this
I
out
know
of
what
the New Yorker. All right, I'm going to tell you in a second. I just got to tell you this, because it drives me nuts. It's a New Yorker. She's like, it's a picture of a cat. He's on the therapist. He's on his analyst sofa, and he's lying there, and he's blaming yarn or something. Yeah. Isn't this clever? And I'm always like, it's clever. And I'm thinking, get out of here. You clever my ass. Go glue it to the refrigerator.
Right, so she said,
yeah.
Writing an article.
So, people die this way, honey. They strangle themselves.
She mentioned autoerotic asphyxiation.
She described it to him.
Yeah,
honey, don't
did.
Do that.
Yeah,
and
don't.
As a warning to you not to do this?
Yeah, yeah. Like, look.
Preemptive
like,
warning?
It's, yeah, it's, yeah.
It's like, honey, I know what you're up
you're
to.
You're 17. Lord knows you're not getting any tail. I know you're going at yourself pretty hard.
Don't try this.
You might be trying to up the ante in some way. Out of desperation. It's a lack of human contact.
Yeah.
It's driving you there.
Don't choke yourself.
You got the big teeth. You got the Brillo head. I know you're raised in a pretty low self-esteem environment. I know you're not pulling down any, not one ounce of tail. No trim whatsoever. I know you're compensating probably 3-4 times a day. You're probably looking to up the ante. Please, honey. Do not put the belt around
now,
your
this
neck.
Is the same woman, circa 10 years later, she's now 85, leans across the dinner table.
Yes.
And wants to know if Adam has heard of this one particular behavior.
Rim jobs. Want to know if I've heard of the rim job.
Did she know what it was?
Yeah.
Well, no, she did not.
So she had an idea, right?
No, she had an idea. She had found out earlier that day. And
what the rim was?
Yeah. I'm wondering sure Adam had a heads up on that one, too. Or was it just to see if you were engaging in that? Or what
she
was it?
Announced it at the table. Yeah. She didn't lean over. She wanted to know.
Does everybody know?
Somebody had brought up a rim job to her earlier that day. She felt stupid for not knowing what it was. And you know, when you don't know what something is, you're always curious if other, like, right. am I the only guy who's never heard of this?
Heard of a rim job?
Yeah. And I... My first
and
impulse.
And you said, Grammy.
Yeah. So let me.
Grammy.
Yeah, let me show you. Grandpa, over here. Take the teeth out. Smart. Yeah.
You're probably taking the knife, putting it on the river, and dive onto it.
Yeah. Oh, if I was Japanese, I would have killed myself years ago.
Okay, my cheeks hurt.
If I was the 1/10 Japanese, I would have killed myself. My whole family would have killed themselves. Everyone would have fallen on swords years and years ago. Years. There'd be no Corollas. We'd all be gone. It's so shameful. Just a spiral of shame in the family with the rim jobs and the autoerotic. You know, I really think the problem with the autoerotic asphyxiation is the asphyxiation part. It's hard to pronounce, so it's hard to do like a PSA on it and stuff. It's like, don't strangle yourself and beat off. It sounds weird, but I just mean, Drew, we need a word that's...
We call it AEA.
Yeah, when you say autoerotic, you can't...
AEA.
You can't,
it's like ED.
To say autoerotic asphyxiation, you can't get
say
one out...
Say it three times real
you
quick.
You can't get it out clean. That's my point.
Yeah, yeah.
Autoerotic asphyxiation.
And it's like some product you can't pronounce. You don't buy it. You know, it's
well,
like,
that's probably why it never caught on, like, big time.
We need to get the word out. My grandmother needs to get the word out. As a matter of fact...
She'd be the great
I'm going to tell her, Mom, you need... Grandma, you need to hit the road. Start talking to colleges about this.
Just put her in a casting. Put her in the role of a television commercial, PSA. You may not have heard of this. Lord knows I was surprised when I first heard about it.
Yeah. Oh, that was a great... Oh, she used to walk around in the nude, too. That was another classic.
No wonder you're on the radio.
Yeah, you should not...
A
boy
things.
Of 12 should not. You should not see a gray pube before your 30th birthday.
Please.
You just shouldn't. You just shouldn't.
No, that's just.
You
ain't
just
right.
shouldn't. You're telling me it's not right. It's
all
not right.
Going to calls. Break it down.
All right, let's go. Let's focus now. Yeah. Let's get back on track.
Door in the floor.
Door in the floor.
Go see it.
Amy Rogers.
That's
here
right.
We go.
Door in the floor could be another rim job.
No, stop.
It really could.
Do not associate my film with rim jobs. We may be naked. There are no rim jobs.
That's right.
No, don't, you know, you might disappoint some of our listeners.
James?
Yeah, hey.
16, what's up?
How you doing? Adam, you're awesome, and Drew, you're great, too.
Thanks, James. What's up?
Both of my parents are alcoholics, and it's kind of a two-part question. About a year, 2 years ago, I developed an eating disorder, and about a year ago, it kind of faded away. I got therapy for it, and it still lingers, but I was just wondering if I can ever totally be rid of that, and what else?
What kind of eating disorder?
Anorexia, and it kind of progressed into a little bulimia, but not a lot.
Okay. So, eating disorders do tend to be chronic, so it's not something that you necessarily can expect you'll never see again in your life. But people do improve and grow and outgrow, and it may be something that...
Well, what about for guys, Drew? Does it take the hold?
But it's rare, but not unheard of.
Yeah. I know it exists.
You could argue both ways. Some people would say, ooh, it has to be a very severe situation for it to manifest at all.
Yeah.
Others could say, well, in males, it doesn't take hold quite as intensely.
But it is
females.
A condition that you can control
absolutely.
And maintain control of.
Absolutely. I mean, the fundamental process, really, is one way to think of it, is that the trauma and the chaos of living in your alcoholic family system didn't give you what you needed to regulate your feelings. And so your brain reaches to whatever means it has to feel okay, to feel safe, to feel full, to feel relieved of the pain. And these eating behaviors are a way that you sort of look for that relief.
Okay.
If you get better, you get therapy, as you said, these behaviors, the symptoms can settle down and essentially go away.
Yeah. All right. And when he says anorexia, does it mean not eating?
Are you eating healthily now? He said both.
Yeah. I just grew out of it and I'm kind of better now. I think
you said you had anorexia and bulimia, right?
Yeah.
But you're not doing that anymore.
No, I haven't for about a year.
Adam insists you didn't say bulimia.
Yes, he did.
We all heard it, Adam.
He said he had an eating disorder and said he had anorexia.
And what was your other question?
A little bit of bulimia kicked in.
Oh, he said, all right. Well, when he announced his disorder,
he has another question.
We'd rather argue amongst ourselves.
Oh, okay.
We're not so interested in a caller.
Call her.
Let me see. It's like we're at a toll booth. You know, just throw a nickel and keep moving.
But we need to be right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Go ahead. What else?
I was wondering what other issues my parents' disease could bring up in my life and any way to kind of...
Well, a ton of things, James. Obviously, are you still in therapy?
No, I stopped doing that when I got better.
You might want to get back. A group process called Al-Anon or Alateen in your case can be very, very helpful in getting together with kids that are your own age that have had the experience of living with alcoholic parents. Kind of share your feelings and experiences to help you grow through that with a 12-step process.
Are your parents getting any help?
I put them on hold.
That's an important question.
Yeah, what about your parents?
Are they getting any help?
Well, my dad hasn't been an alcoholic. Well, he hasn't been drinking for most of my life, and my mom kind of had a relapse, but she's not in any help right now.
The difference between not using and being in some form of recovery, is she actually involved in some growth process, or is she just not using?
Or is she back on
She's not using right now.
Not using. So.
Okay.
All right. So, James, you help yourself.
All right.
Yeah, find Alateen. That's a good one. Yeah.
All right, thank you, guys.
All right. And listen to some classical music and take a walk. I'm telling you. Yeah, it wouldn't kill you.
Really? Where in Massachusetts does he live?
Chopin, Nocturnes.
Yeah.
Curious.
Where do you live in Massachusetts?
Springfield.
So that's where I went to college, right near there.
That's
where the Basketball Hall of Fame is.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Brand new one.
And they built a big giant basketball.
Yeah.
That's what it looks like now.
Well, what do you want to put, a hockey puck?
Well, it was before. It just looked like a 1970s crappy sort of Soviet building before.
Hall of Fame doesn't get its due. I mean, you got your Cooperstown.
No, Jeff Bridges that doesn't get his due.
He doesn't get his due either. And I'll tell you, the door in the floor, that's when it all changes.
That's going to get his, yeah.
That's his coming out party.
Yeah.
That's his dead ball.
Yeah. You know, I went to Amherst College, which is right near Springfield, and didn't set foot in the Basketball Hall of Fame until I came back to show my kids the college, and then, of course, we went.
Was it great?
And what does that have to do with Jeff Bridges?
Just saying that Jeff Bridges is going to get his due and door on the floor. And
right.
Are we going to do it? Are we going to say it right now? Jeff Bridges, Oscar? Are we going to say it?
I don't want to jinx it.
Okay.
You could curse him.
Let me.
Ooh.
If I curse him, he'll get it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, I always wonder about that, because I remember like this year, the Emmy nominations just came out. We got to go to break in 30 seconds. I'll make it fast.
Okay.
I got passed over again. But the Emmy nominations came out. Kim Cattrall was nominated for Sex and the City. I think she's a train wreck of a woman. I'm sure she's got serious emotional problems. But here's the thing. They interviewed her like the year before, and they were like, what do you think? What do you think of your chances? And she's like, I don't want to talk about it, sweetie. I don't want to jinx it, because she's one of those like heady actresses who's all up in her whatever. Anyway, she didn't talk about it because she didn't want to jinx it, but she lost.
Uh-huh.
So this year, Kim, you got to talk your little ass off about it. Because according to your retarded strategy, not talking about it is what screwed it up last time. So you should be blabbing about it this year. That's all I'm saying. That's nice. You don't want to jinx it. We'll take ourselves a little break. Mimi Rogers is here, door on the floor. Name of her latest joint. We'll take a quick break, and we'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody. Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. He's got a spell coming on.
Yeah.
He's been hit with something.
He's not feeling altogether well.
Weird.
He'll be fine. It's always funny when a doctor gets sick. It's always great. It's like when the fire chief's house burns down. Always funny.
I know.
Always
funny. You never seem to get over it.
Never over it. Always funny. Mimi Rogers here tonight. The Door in the Floor is the name of the new movie. It is out now in limited release, all the big important cities, and then it's going to go into wide release. Kim Basinger is in it. Also Jeff Bridges. Fine actors. And Drew's read the reviews on the movie.
Glorious.
This is
spectacular.
Yes. And this is not the Long Beach Dispatch. No. This is
talking.
The LA Times, New York Times. Both glorious reviews. Raves.
Siskel and Roper.
Raves. Oh, yeah. That's
Premier,
right. That's
Rolling
right.
Stone.
Huge.
Huge.
Do yourself a favor. Hey, if you're a fan of quality, you go out and see this movie. Yes,
and Drew? If you want to see us naked.
And if you're a fan of areolas,
most importantly,
you go out and see this movie.
That's right.
And let me just, we got to hop back to the phones here. But this is going to be a quick weatherman jag, because as you know, I can't stand these sea suckers. I want just to get the hell off the news and start expanding the sports, give them a little more time for sports or show pictures of missing kids. And by the way, I got this idea, whereas you just show pictures of missing kids in place of stuff when you don't got stuff. Like I open the newspaper sometimes. I read a Peanuts cartoon. It's like four or five boxes long. I get to the end, and I want to strangle whoever did it. I know Schultz is in the grave. But it's like, okay, you just wasted my time.
Yeah.
And here's what it is. You didn't have anything today. You got nothing. Put some missing kids pictures in there. I was looking at the USA Today a week ago. They had the little snapshots box. It's like 4th of July, fireworks injuries go up 61%.
No.
Like, okay, you got nothing. You got put a missing kid there. You don't got anything. Let's just admit you got nothing for this issue and put the missing kid picture in there. That's what they should do with the weather, because the five-day forecast I heard on Sunday was going to be low 80s all week long, and as we and tapering off, you know, Thursday starting to cool off as we head into the weekend. So you know, it's going to be 84 on Monday, but we'll be down to 79, 80 come Friday, starting to taper off.
My automobile thermometer today read 111.
111.
Holy,
that's right.
111.
That was
Pasadena.
It was in Pasadena.
Oh, yeah.
And heading up. Admit you're wrong, quit your job, and just start showing pictures of missing kids. That's all. You got nothing. You got nothing. You got nothing. And by the way, if you give the five-day forecast, then shut up for the rest of the week. Because isn't that it? Didn't you just shoot your wad? You told us what was going to go on, and you're never wrong. You soothsayers told us what is going to go on for the entire week. Do we need to see your puss on Thursday? You told us Monday what Thursday was going to be like. Shut up. Get out of the desk. Get busy. That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
Can't stand weathermen.
Okay.
Can't stand them in this city. If they were right, like half the time, or apologize and weep while you apologize.
Thank you, forgiveness.
Thank you. All right.
Line 5.
Line 5. 5-day forecast.
Rob is who's
tapering
25.
Down. Tapering Robin. Down.
Hi, Robin.
We're tapering down here into a break, but
Hi.
What's going on?
Well, I just mainly have just a really quick question. I have a friend that he and I have been friends for about 4 or 5 years now, and my understanding is that his ex-wife had given him genital herpes.
Mm-hmm.
I've since divorced, and we've kind of become a little bit more than friends. He's performed oral sex on me, and I'm just kind of wondering how much of a concern there is as far as contracting it.
How you mean getting it from his mouth?
Yeah. Or from him in general?
He doesn't have it in his mouth, does he? He
said genital herpes would only be in the genital area.
You're defining it as a genital location. You said genital herpes.
Yeah, but what if he can get to his own junk?
He's got it in his mouth.
Yeah. Jeez.
Although auto-inoculation is a little more difficult.
Are you guys having intercourse as well?
No. No,
yeah.
And I think that's probably the reason why he won't have intercourse with me.
All right.
Well, there you go.
Well, he can always wear a condom, you know.
Yeah.
It reduces the risk. And he could have it on his mouth, of course, because they may have passed it around, he and his wife. But if he has never had an outbreak in his mouth, there you go.
All right. You're loving life, baby.
Is there any kind of test that you can
no.
have?
No.
No.
Not really. Something's got to show up.
Yeah. No, he's either got it or he ain't. He's either shedding virus. And many times you don't know when you're shedding virus. So he can take antiviral medicines every day that will decrease the risk of viral shedding and then wear a condom. That will really lower your risk quite a bit. But
all right, don't freak out. He gave you the oral for the reason. That's the word genital, right? Right in the title. All right, Mimi Rogers here. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Mimi Rogers here, the great Mimi Rogers, for one last glorious segment with us. Dr. Drew, how you feeling, buddy?
Weird.
Feeling weird?
Yeah.
He's right. Got numb lips now.
Yeah, my lips went numb. It's weird. It's a simple thumb.
Something coming up? All right.
It's funny, huh?
Well, keep an eye on yourself.
I often seem to have that effect on people.
Yeah. You can make a man's lips go numb just by looking at him. And let me explain.
I didn't want to bring that up, Adam, but
let me bring up. Let me bring up the passion puzzle, because you guys may be the missing pieces for each other's passion puzzle. Drew is an exquisitely passionate man.
Ooh.
And Mimi strikes me as a woman of great passion.
Mm.
Yes?
Mm.
I'm sure you're a passionate woman. And what I mean is... And when I say this about Drew, which is...
We are passionate people, Drew and I.
Yes, you're very passionate. I'm not as passionate.
Adam, engine barely turns over.
Okay.
Right.
Pulse
I have
44.
I have passion about Drew's passion. That's about it. But Drew's a man of passion. And Drew's a guy, and here's what I mean. I can go to a strip club and spend 10 hours at a strip club, which I've probably done more than 10 hours. Like, when you come out and you're hit with sunlight, that's a bad sign.
And you walked in after dinner?
Oh, the street lights weren't on when I went in.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Oh, no, I hit the businessman's lunch. And okay, but the point is Drew can't go to strip club because his passion, it's a river that runs so deep that he could not be exposed to all this without actually having to...
So you're saying he'd attack
satiate
these strippers?
Himself? Yes, he would
attack
actually
them and have to
have
them.
Yeah, he's like a wild beast.
I see.
A beast would be.
I see.
And that's passion.
That's passion.
Now most guys enjoy a woman, a scantily clad woman or naked woman. Like if you look at that door on the floor, for instance, you'll see Mimi Rogers and Kim Basinger and even Jeff Bridges in the nude. Most people enjoy that. Drew may physically attack the screen.
Chew on the screen. I just chew right through it.
Yeah. Let me tell you something. My football coach in high school once told me a story.
About what?
I'll tell you why.
It's going to be over.
And it's going to work in your passion.
Okay.
The team at the time was confused, but later on I got his meaning, which was he was trying to get us fired up for a game.
Right.
And he said, you know what? A team went in to see some Eskimos, and they're trying to teach these Eskimos how better to hunt and what not to do and such with these seals. And they shut the lights and they turned a slideshow on, and on the slide was it like a big bull seal, and all the Eskimos attacked the screen. And that's what I want you guys to be like. I didn't know what the hell to ask was. I was doing it. Hey,
very creative. Hey,
Dillweed, we're out in North Hollywood. I don't even know what Eskimo is now. I'm 17. I got half a boner. Can we just play the game? But the point is, Drew would be like one of the Eskimos attacking the screen. Naked form on the screen, he would attack it.
But here's what makes Adam very angry, though, is I tell him that I got like everything I need at home. I'm very happy with my wife. It's like my favorite.
Attacks his wife.
Yes. Favorite passion outlet is there, and it didn't attack any screens or strip clubs.
This is the new name for wife, passion outlet.
Passion outlet.
I like it.
Yeah.
You be my passion outlet.
Yeah. My wife's more of a semen mall. But, you know, this is just nomenclature here.
Well.
The point is...
At the outlets, we go for bulk.
Volume. That's right. Drew's a really Costco-sized passion. But the point is, I'm intrigued. I'm saying he's a passionate man. I'm guessing you're a woman of exquisite passion yourself. Yes?
Yes. Yeah, I'm there.
You, too, probably could have given birth to a race of exquisitely passionate people. That's
or
all
dangerous.
I'm saying. Dangerously passionate would probably attack many an Eskimo.
Or a bull seal.
All right. So,
now that we've cleared
me,
that up.
Passion. Drew, passionate. Me, passionate about other people's passion.
Have a good times.
That's right.
It takes all kinds.
That's fine. Yeah. Jessica?
Yeah.
You're 18?
Yes.
What's happening?
I have, like, a cold sore in my mouth right now, so I stink, and it's been there for, like, a week. And then today I noticed a rash, like, on my body, like my arms and legs and boobs and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering if it's syphilis-related, like if having the cold sore in your mouth or the canker, like, is that where it can show up when you have syphilis?
It's a very interesting question because syphilis has been on the rise lately.
Oh, really?
And it does originally show up as something like a canker sore, but it's painless. And it's usually pretty grody looking, pretty yucky looking.
Would it be inside your mouth?
It can be. It's usually at the point of contact where you touched somebody else's syphilis.
Have you gone to a doctor?
No.
And then when the ulcer goes away, you get a rash. And it's what's called a morbilliform. It's a sort of a like a measly rash, and it usually involves your palms.
Your palms. It would be on the palms of your hands.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I would have your doctor check.
Absolutely. It sounds like just a virus that you're getting, and it could be related to herpes, but the rash not necessarily. It's just some sort of virus.
Well,
I suspect. But it's an interesting question. I'm surprised you're able to know enough about syphilis.
What made you think syphilis?
A rash and a canker sore.
And also. What, you've been whoring around a little bit?
No.
All right.
I don't know, it's just like, the one guy says he's, like, never been with anyone else, but, you know.
Where'd you hear about syphilis?
Health class.
That's good. Here's a health class that's been effective in
But wouldn't you agree she should have a doctor just check
her? Of course. You said you had a fever, too?
I had a fever earlier today.
Fever and a rash, you got to see a doctor.
Got to see a doctor.
You live in Los Angeles, fever and a rash here, it's something we call rickettsial diseases. There are things that are relatives of Rocky Mountain spotted fever that are rather common out here.
In Los
Angeles?
Measles. Yeah.
See a doctor, hon. Just have him check you out. I would bet dollars to donuts we're not talking about syphilis, but you definitely want to have a doctor check you out.
You're talking about murine typhus.
Which one?
Douglas, which is a relative of Rocky Mountain spotted fever.
Did you get from a tick?
Probably a flea or tick, yeah.
Really?
Yeah. And we got the wild kingdom in our backyard. And
yeah. Drew's got like bobcats back there. Yeah.
Well, he's passionate.
Yeah.
They're attracted to the
passion. They smell his pheromones.
Yeah.
He releases passionate pheromones, and the cats are attracted to that. He's like Dr. Doolittle. He's like, he walks around. He's got like a raccoon on his head, squirrels on his shoulder. It's great. Animals
the magnetism.
Know. They know when you're scared, but most of all, they know when you're horny. They do. And if a dog knows you're scared, he certainly knows when you're horny.
Do not take Dr. Drew to the zoo.
Oh, no, they start going nuts.
Yeah, they start just banging.
No, it's like the movies when
they go crazy.
When Damien would go with the devil or Beelzebub or something walks over there, all the wolves start screaming, and it's like that. Yeah.
Yeah, is it like that for you?
Well, no, they all start licking their balls when I show up and then nap. That's how the animals react. All right.
Okay.
Those who can get to them. Not all animals can get to their balls, Drew. Are you aware of that?
Drew doesn't know about that.
No, I didn't, but he's more imagination.
Let's see if we could come up with a quick list of animals.
They can't reach their nuts?
Yeah.
Giraffe? I bet a
condor.
Do you think
condors.
A giraffe?
No, I've seen...
Giraffe, condors.
No, you think a giraffe could? Do you think an elephant could?
I've seen giraffes elephant bend their
maybe
necks.
Maybe with their trunk they could.
I'm going to see it. It's a half of
it. No, that's going to count.
But I don't think a bull could.
No, you're right.
Not very flexible.
Horns.
Yeah.
Yeah, and things in the bovine family.
Warthog. Nah, I don't think so.
I don't think the tusk could get in the way.
What about a hippo? See,
no,
I don't think so.
Hippo, no, too big.
Don't think so.
Rhino? Okay, this is my new game show. With Celebrity Hour, it's like, how about a duck-billed platypus? I don't know. Argument breakdown? Go to those balls, and then we actually do it. Now we find out. Now's when we find out. I guess we'd have to have a wrangler in there at some point, but forcing the animals. But you're right. Yeah, cows and pig.
I don't think a dog
easily.
Yeah, but dogs are lean animals. The big fat animals.
They have flexible spines.
Even a fat lab can get to its junk.
Yeah, but they're extra swell.
Have you seen a cat going at their own unit?
They're going at it.
They're the best.
They're like, that's why they don't need you or anyone else.
they're going to clean it.
I'm going down to myself. Like, here's what I'm doing. Here's what's on schedule for today. I'm going to eat. I'm going to go up myself for about 4 hours. I take a nap. I give you a little Suris. And then I'm going to go down to myself again. Then I'm going to eat. Then I'm going to give you the stink eye. Then it's another nap. And if you're lucky, maybe I'll vomit somewhere on linoleum instead of on the rug. Okay? That'll bring us to Tuesday. That's the day. All right. Tomorrow, same thing. Maybe I'll break it up. Maybe I'll eat, vomit, then go down on myself, then nap.
Yeah, but our cat, it gave us a special gift of peeing everywhere, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I might be spraying a little bit.
Might be doing a little mark and stuff.
So I know where I go to lick my nuts. Yeah.
My friend had a cat that was so bad with the marking stuff anything new.
That's why you must neuter your animals.
Anything new that came into the apartment needed to be marked. The cat marked my Hot Rod magazine.
You must neuter these pets.
So you know what you'd have to do if you went to this guy's house? You had to keep your stuff in his refrigerator. You had to keep clothing in his refrigerator.
Who was this?
You have the most interesting life. You have more interesting things.
Yes, my friend Todd.
Todd?
Yeah. Well, you know I'm a snake.
Oh, I was going to say, Todd, you wouldn't have lived to this ripe age.
Ultimately ended up on People's Court, by the way, which if you want to take a walk down memory lane, take a look at him, 1984 in People's Court. But the point is
he had a refrigerator
full of Levi's. And it was crazy. Yeah. Oh, my God, did it smell in that place. Matthew?
Yeah.
You're 28?
Yes.
You got a question for Mimi?
Yes.
Here you go.
Hi.
Hey, Mimi.
Hi, Matthew.
I sexiest woman in Hollywood by far, I have to say.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate that.
You're a genius.
Matthew's frightening me a little bit.
Thank you.
I think Matthew likes us.
Yeah. Mimi, I was wondering, is there any Lost in Space 2 in the works?
Unfortunately, I have to say no, there is not.
I didn't see Lost in Space.
Apparently,
so
the first one didn't make enough billions of dollars to warrant making the second one.
Hey, Matthew?
Yeah.
That's your question for Mimi Rogers? Is Lost in Space 2 in the works?
Well, I actually just wanted to talk to you. I wanted to see if you went down and saw the model that called the other day.
That's right.
Yeah,
yes,
I did.
He did.
I did.
Was she really hot, like she said?
No. Here's the thing. Okay, here's the thing. Just in case, let me just say something, all you yentas who work with my wife, and shut your fat traps, you lifeless whores. Go back to your own nightmare lives. Stop the reporting.
Reset the story.
I just want to say this. All you screwball broads and guys too, with all that, just thought you should know, like to twist the knife just a little bit. You know, your husband was on the air last night. And I heard him talking about this, and shut up.
She doesn't take any of that seriously, does she?
Yeah.
Let me tell you.
The way it gets reported
once in a blue moon,
By the way, I'll be at that thing on Thursday night.
Some friend from work, and the next cubicle pops her head over and just thought you should know kind of thing. You know, I just, you people need to kill yourselves. I have no tolerance for you people. So everyone shut your puss.
Now back to the model.
And we can talk about the model. Chick called the show the other night.
Kitty
from Northridge called the show, 18 years old, had herself a friend who was a stripper, and said she was a high fashion model. I didn't believe her because she was living in Northridge. And,
right. The high fashion epicenter.
Yeah, well, it's Milan and Northridge.
Right.
And those, okay. those are the two places you end up when you're high fashion. Yeah, it wasn't Versace shot in Northridge, or where was that?
So.
Yeah, it's all, anyway.
Canoga Park.
He was in Canoga Park. That's right. The point is she was living in Northridge. I didn't believe her. So she said she was a high fashion model, and I said she was just high, thinking she was a model. And so she said, I saw you yesterday, by the way. And I said, well, where'd you see me? And she said, I saw you at the Starbucks. And I said, after the writers' meeting over on the Jimmy Kimmel show. Have you done the Jimmy Kimmel show yet?
No, I haven't.
You should do. You should do it.
Can you take care of that?
I'm going to drop your name over there tomorrow,
okay.
Sweetie.
Okay.
And they'd be, I'm sure, more than glad to have you. The point is after the writers' meeting ends at 1 o'clock, I go get a cup of Joe over at Starbucks. And she said, well, I'll come down there. And I said, good, I'll check you out. And she did come down there. And I did check her out.
With her stepper friend.
And nothing wrong with her.
But not a high fashion model.
No. Look, and here's the thing, ladies. Here's the thing. A lot of chicks think because there's nothing wrong with them, they're hot. It's not a process of elimination. You know what I mean? It's like, not fat, don't have a hooked nose, must be hot. No. Doesn't work that way. You got to have a certain je ne sais quoi.
It's got to be difficult for women, though, the way guys behave around any, you know,
yes.
women.
And don't get me wrong, there was nothing wrong with her.
Yeah, but how would she?
She was cute, and I'm sure plenty of guys who'd like to get with her.
And let it be known.
Therefore,
too.
she probably thinks she's hot.
Yeah. Right. And is to a certain degree, but.
But not high fashion model.
Not high fashion. Right.
She's not going to Milan.
Not part of the overseas shunt of talent you complained about.
And also. Here's
the
my well,
shunt.
Maybe
well,
me,
Adam
me,
was complaining
me,
about
like dialysis shunt.
No, he was complaining about women, the high fashion, all the women of our country going to other European countries.
Why do we have to export all our talent? Do you know what I'm saying?
Female.
Why do we got to take our hot 14-year-olds from Kentucky and send them
to Milan,
to Paris? Yeah. And isn't Europe brimming with beautiful women? What do they need our women? We don't even speak the language.
They like Americans.
But what?
We're special.
Does the camera know the difference between some chick from a small town in Georgia and a small town in France? Do you know what I mean? I mean, Sweden, Norway. You got a lot of Scandinavian countries over there. You got a lot of beautiful blondes.
They want
get your
our
own
6-foot teenage girls. They want them.
I know. That's what I'm saying. You can't have them anymore,
okay.
Frenchie. You get your own.
Okay.
We keep them here because we need them
for
breeding.
We grow them big here.
We grow them big. And
is that the height issue?
Yeah.
It's all about height.
Well, yeah, you don't see a lot of 5'4".
No, but I mean, we actually have taller teenagers over here?
We actually kind of do.
Really?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
I think they're rangier, yeah. But my point is we have taken years to cultivate these women.
Yes. These really tall women.
And we need to keep them on American soil.
I think you should run for government on that platform.
Yeah.
Yeah, you'll win.
No, we should no sooner give them our hot 14-year-olds than we should give them military secrets. Do you know what I'm saying? This is a war. That's what I'm saying, Drew. We got to keep our hotties stateside. I'm going to have my men at every airport. I'm going to post them at every train station, every airport. Just, when I'm in charge, they'll not be able to leave.
But then you'll be profiling.
I think
you can't do that. You cannot profile.
I'll need to see papers.
We want Adam for president.
Yeah. Here's the thing. It's like, I see some hot 14-year-old blonde. Where are you going? Going to your... First off, cavity search. Over there. My grandmother's
you're going to have Grammy doing it.
My grandmother lives in Spain. She's very ill. Nice try, sweetie. Back to the farm and start humping. Start crapping out some kids. Let's go.
Oh, dear God.
That's my plan. Wait till I'm in charge. And I'll tag them all, too. I'll know where they are. I monitor them.
No, they have those nice little chips now.
I'll put chips in them.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah, they did that. They did that thing.
You can chip your kid?
Like Caribou.
They chip your kid. You can chip your pet. The Mexican Attorney
chip
General.
No. Did you chip your kid?
No.
No, I didn't chip my kids.
Attorney General of Mexico just had himself chipped.
Well, they all get kidnapped.
Yeah, they all get kidnapped. Right. Yeah. So it's great. They're going to find his arm somewhere now. Like, oh yeah.
It's actually a pretty civilized business.
The chip?
They know they're going to get kidnapped. It's a business. They don't hurt them. They have them for about 2 weeks. Just give them the money, and then you get your person back.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a business.
Yeah,
it's
don't
scary,
kid yourself.
But it's a business.
Right. And listen, we can't judge. All cultures are the same. It's a Mexico.
It's like a Woody Allen film.
It's not like, the people, it's the government.
It's business.
It's a business.
It's business.
All right.
Nothing personal.
It's business.
And by the way, Attorney General of Mexico, don't you got a... I would be running in a serpentine just in my own house. Like from the kitchen to the bathroom, I would be serpentining.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Rolling and diving.
Shoulder rolls into the living room, snapping up behind the sofa, and then diving over to get the TV remote. Oh, my God. Could you I imagine, you know, these people, we're all over the map tonight, but these politicians who are like, you know, in these banana republics, or they're over in Panama or something, and the last eight guys, their successors were all snuffed out with car bombs and stuff, and they're standing up, and they're like, well, I'm not scared of you people. Yeah. It's like, oh, my God. Yeah. Could you imagine it?
Yes, you are.
To drive home every day. Yeah. But what? I mean, what huevos on these guys?
They're very passionate.
They're passionate.
They're courageous, passionate people.
I'm telling you.
Passionate men. Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
That's what I'm talking about.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
All right. Huge huevos.
So...
All right, let's get back to the phones.
Huge huevos.
Mike?
Yes.
Yeah. You know, huevos, it's eggs, you know?
Yeah.
I like that. I like that they call these eggs.
Yeah.
But it's ironic that the women have eggs.
Yeah. What do they call them? They call them huevos in women, too?
No te cuesta un huevo.
Yeah, I don't... What
it's a Spanish saying. It doesn't cost you one ball.
Does it? Yeah, but... But how? But women.
What do they call the ovaries?
What do they call the eggs that are released?
Huevos.
Huevos.
But there's got to be something for the ovaries.
It's weird that they both have the same junk over there.
Do you realize that the ovaries are basically the testicles, just way up inside you?
Really?
You know, you could go either way.
More so, we all start as women.
Oh, yeah.
We all do start as women. And then something freaky happens, and all sorts of things sprout off of you guys.
Yes. Yeah, that Y chromosome changes
everything.
Yeah, but I'm going to...
Don't forget that you started out as a woman.
No, and I'm going to finish as one. That's my thing.
Okay.
I'm not yet. I'm not going to squeeze the trigger yet, but I will finish as one. I'm going to start as one.
I think
and
we should start something for
one.
The ovaries. Call them our Cheerios or something.
Mike?
Yeah.
Yes.
You're 22?
Yes.
What's up?
All right. I've been with my fiance for 4 years, and this last past two years, she kind of lost her sex drive, and just wondering why that would be.
Now, you're 22. You've been with her since you were 18.
Yeah.
She's 20?
Yeah.
You've been with her since you were 16.
And she's lost
since
her
she was
sex
16,
drive?
And she lost her sex drive at 18.
Yeah,
did anything about that. Anything happened? Is she on medication? Is there something medical going on?
We have two kids, and
that'll do it.
After the second kid is when it happened.
Yeah.
Is she tired?
On birth control, and then it's just totally gone. Like, yeah.
Is she very tired?
No.
She's not tired.
With the two kids, she's not tired?
How could she not be tired? 20 with two kids, I would have...
Well,
I'd be exhausted.
Well, I work at nighttime, and she works during the day, so I'm with the kids during the day, and she has them at night, so we both have our breaks.
So when do you guys see each other?
Saturdays. Sometimes.
Oof.
If I'm not working on
Saturdays. Mike, there's probably a whole series, Mike, a lot of issues here. Right. One is the biological changes of childbirth very often shut women down, particularly for the first year after a delivery, and you've had two. There can be a depression that can trigger that. There can also be just the plain biology of pregnancy. You said she was on the birth control pill. Some pills do shut a woman down. There's the stress of having two children at the age of 20. People are depleted by that, particularly women. And then you don't have a relationship. And women have to be nurtured, and there has to be a connection for them to feel sexual. So there's all these things stacked up against you.
All right. What do you, Mike? And Mike, you sound tired, and you sound depressed.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not. I just got off of work. So I don't know. I work till 1 o'clock, so I work from 3 to 1, and I'm going to bed.
What do you do?
I'm a mechanic, a diesel mechanic.
Uh-huh. You work for the city or something?
No, I work for an independent company.
All right. You got, so it's a decent gig?
Yeah, pretty good. I'm
what does she tell you? Do you ask her why her desire is down?
Yeah, she's. It's not like she don't want to. We've sat down and talked about it, talked about going to the doctors and, you know, see what's going on. Because there's also times we'll be having sex and it's just like she just dries up and then there's nothing left. And
there may be something hormonal going on here. She should really have her gynecologist sort of run a bunch of tests.
The first place to start.
Because really this does sound like a hormone imbalance, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Especially if you're talking about drying up.
Very common.
Especially that young.
Is she on a birth control shot?
No, she's on the pill.
Which pill?
See, what I was thinking, she's 20 years old. She should be wanting to have sex every day.
Which pill? Hey, you got two kids there, Mike.
it's which pill. The pill could be having an effect, but this is something her gynecologist really needs to work up.
And, Mike, you can't treat her like the motor in a school bus either. Like, I got to get to the bottom of this. Yeah. We ain't firing on number three cylinder. I mean, you'll freak her out. You can't do that. You can't, like, I got to get you fixed so I can hump you.
Yeah.
You got to back off just a little bit and start spreading some rose petals around and light a candle or something.
Spend some time on the relationship.
Yeah, you have to pretend like you don't want to have sex so that you can have sex with
you want to talk.
That's right. All right. Speaking of talking, we got to take a break. And Mimi Rogers was kind enough to stay a good long segment after she planned on leaving at the top of the hour. I forced her. Really through charm to stay one more break.
And we have to ask all of our listeners to please go see this movie.
Oh, please.
We have compensated.
Please, for yourself. It is a remarkable
don't
experience.
Don't do it for Mimi. Don't do it for Drew.
Do it for yourself.
Do it for yourself.
I plan to do it for myself.
Me too.
Yeah.
All right.
For you, Adam. I'll do it for you.
I'm going to do myself a favor and see this movie.
The Door and the Floor.
Yes, but I got to say, if the arc light's out of the caramel corn, I'm going over the countertop. I'm going to kill somebody. Over there, because I will freak on your ass if you guys do not have my caramel corn ready for me. All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam, that's Dr. Drew. Over there, Mimi Rogers left the building. A delight.
Truly.
She did that. Am I boring you, Drew? Or?
Well, no, she's gone, yeah.
Okay. She did the TV show some years ago, although I must have forgot about that because I think I introduced myself to her. Showed up. How many times have I effed up that way, Drew?
Oh, I can't count that high.
How many times have I introduced myself to someone who's been a guest on our show before?
Conservatively?
Yeah, conservatively.
A guest on radio and or TV?
Yes.
250 times.
I know. It's great. How many times to a person who's been on the radio show and the television show, or one or both of them more than once?
50 times.
Janine Garofalo had been on the radio show, the TV show, and I think we dated for a while in the 90s, and I introduced myself to her the 26th time I saw
her. It was like the fourth time.
Yeah, at that point, I just decided to replace Nice to Meet You with How You Doing?
Yeah, good to see you.
Good to see you. Looking good. A little positive affirmation. Looking good. And let me tell you something. There's nothing wrong with that.
No.
I go into the gym. The guy calls me champ. I feel good about it. Hey, champ. Yeah. Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We do a little more with that.
Yeah, but don't think people don't know what you're up to.
It ain't ass kissing. No. I don't mind it.
Yeah, but they know you don't remember them.
I know.
And that's what you're up to.
Okay.
You're covering.
They know.
It's all right, but it feels good.
Feels good.
Yeah.
Hey, looking good, champ.
Dude.
Hey, dude. Hey, champ, dude. Looking good.
It's good to see you.
Good to see you. Matt?
Yeah.
Hey, champ, what's happening?
Matt?
How you doing, dude?
I'm doing good.
Looking good, Matt.
Thanks.
15, what's going on?
I got Florida or Germany for you.
It's Germany or Florida, isn't it?
I don't know what he means when he says Florida or Germany.
Yeah. It doesn't register.
Germany or Florida.
Oh, okay.
All right.
All right.
It's time to play Germany or Florida.
Oh, Florida!
Now, who is that?
Andy Dick.
That is Andy. Is that Andy Dick?
Yeah.
Okay. I know we decided it's Andy Dick, but it doesn't sound like him.
Chris, did you sign up for your classes?
No.
Are you talking to Engineer Chris?
Yeah.
Don't get me going on junior college.
All right, you guys ready?
Go ahead.
Yeah, here we go.
All
All right. A man hired a dominatrix to have an affair with, and while having sex, the hotel room next door caught on fire, and the dominatrix ran out, leaving the man tied to the bed where he burned to death. Germany or Florida?
It sounds German. Yeah. It sounds German.
Because he just told us.
Germany. Yeah. We're going with Germany. Yeah. Yep. That's bad times.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Very bad times.
Thank you for confirming that, Matt.
Thanks, Matt. Thanks for playing Germany or Florida. You know, the last thing that came out of his mouth while the bed was on fire was probably his safe word.
Yeah.
Ironically.
Yes. A lot of good that did.
Farfignugan was probably like his safe word, you know, because when you're in the dominatrix thing, you got to have a word that's like uncle.
Yeah.
I don't know why. Stop it. I don't know why you just can't really, you know, just yell at the person like, hey, Kayab. You know, why can't you just yell, I'm serious, knock it off?
Because that screws it.
It's not funny.
They want to hear some of that.
Right. So you come up with your own safe word while the person's beating the crap out of you. Yeah. And until you hear hippopotamus, it's game on. Yeah. And so it's like, so that way you can be like, oh no, it hurts. Oh, stop, it hurts. But until they yell hippopotamus, it's fine. Yeah. And then it stops the confusion because you whack them and they'd be, oh, it hurts. Oh, so, sorry, sweetie. Oh, no, I was just playing along.
I've never witnessed this or been involved with it, but you know how people are. Be like, really? Is it really hippopotamus? Really? How about just a little more? You know, I'm sure the negotiation begins immediately.
Yeah.
As soon as hippopotamus
is
uttered.
Come on, it's not hippopotamus time.
Yeah.
I'll beat the crap out of you a lot longer and a lot harder than this before the H word can fly out.
Okay, I'm done. Yeah, I'm ready now. Okay.
All right, so take back the hippopotamus.
Take it back. Okay, ready. Okay.
Okay.
Hippopotamus. Right? Isn't that how it would go?
The guy's wearing like a leather hood. She's wearing the 9-inch stiletto heels.
Yes.
Let me explain. Let me tell you something with me. I can barely remember the alarm code on my house. My safe word. I'd be getting this whip cracked on my ass. The safe word I would have long since forgotten.
Here's the thing. You've got no engine going, so this seems foreign and bizarre to you.
I can't be bothered
with this S, so it's foreign to me. It's the people in the middle there that must make sense.
Here's the thing. Yes, I barely have a heartbeat, so I'm not into getting kicked around sexually. Drew would look at this as so much styrofoam packing peanuts before he actually got to his parcel. The vagina. That's the parcel. Do you understand?
Let's get to it.
Yeah, I don't need all this styrofoam, all the packing, all the frill, the bubble wrap. Get it out of the way. I got to open this box. That's true. Yeah, it's like, yeah.
That's Adam
like,
looks at the box and goes, ugh. Right, you wouldn't even look at the styrofoam packing. Oh,
I'd probably fall asleep on it.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's the whole thing. The whole dominatrix thing. It's just like it's too much work. It's plus you start laughing. You know, about 10 minutes into it, I mean, you couldn't keep it with a straight face.
No.
Calling your old lady mistress something. Oh. Now she's come up with some sort of crazy
Adam,
mistress.
You're just
name.
Not a creative person.
Yeah.
Yeah. See what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm. Kristen?
Yeah.
You're 15?
Yeah.
Look how long she's been on hold.
119 minutes?
I've been on hold for like 2 hours.
Well, that's kind of an exaggeration, Sweet Pea, because you've only... since when is 119 minutes and 43 seconds? 2 hours. You see, you're a full 17 seconds away from making that claim, sweetie. You understand?
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's it. That's 17 seconds. That's a lifetime. All right. Hold on. I'd like to put you on hold just so you could actually make it to 2 hours.
Yeah.
All right. Where are we on the clock here, Drew?
Don't worry about it.
48,
we'll talk about something
else. 49, 50. We're 119 minutes and 55 seconds, 56. I'm going to try to hit her. What line is she on?
Five.
Right. All right. 120 straight up.
Yep, got it.
Exactly 2 hours you've been on hold.
All right.
No longer lying or exaggerating.
That's right. To the second. All right. What's happening, baby doll?
I wanted to know why guys can't stay hard when they're coked out.
Well, it's anything.
If I had a nickel for every 15-year-old that needed an answer to this
question. 2 hours for that, too. Whenever something is stimulating the sympathetic nervous system, that's a part of that sort of increases your heart rate and your blood pressure, the stimulating part of your autonomic nervous system, that tends to go against sexual performance.
Mm-hmm. And did Kristen drop out? Or are we still having this phone problem?
We're having the phone problem.
No, I'm still here.
Oh, okay.
You're 15. What's the deal?
What do you got going there? Yeah.
Well, I mean, like, I'm always ready to go or whatever, you know, if it's, like, both of us coked out or whatever, but it's just there, you know, like, it's happened to me twice with two different guys. So.
Two different guys, both you and they are coked out, you're 15. I think things aren't going quite the way they should in your life.
I know.
Yeah, Kristen.
What's going on with your family?
Not much.
Do you have a family?
Well, my mom and dad, like, never got married, but, like we just moved out from my stepdad's house, and they're going to get divorced sometime soon, so.
All right. Well, let me impart a little wisdom before we hang up, especially since you've been on hold for 2 hours.
Stepdad must have been abusive.
Here's the thing, Kristen. You're 15. You sound like you're in your late 30s. And
coming off a tour in Vietnam or Iraq.
Yeah. And the future does not look bright for young Kristen. And here's the thing. Here's the thing. This is all, if I can get any message across tonight, beside a whole bunch of stuff I got about traffic and weathermen and stuff like that, and a few high school football stories, if I can get any message across tonight, it's I can see what's coming. And
it's looking grim,
and it's not looking good, and it will be upon you quickly. And there is the ability to change, but if you just sort of here's the whole thing. You're like on in a barrel that's on a river that's heading for Niagara Falls. If you just sort of sit back, you're going over the falls soon. You got to start paddling the other direction. You got to start working at something. And you can laugh all you want. You can screw around. You can do whatever. Check back with us in
12 months.
No. Check back with us. Call us when you're 19. Let's see how you're doing. A couple of kids, abusive husband, in and out of the joint, incarcerated. Maybe one of the kids taken away from you, child custody, protective services.
Well, I mean, it's not like I do coke all the time or anything.
All that stuff. I'm just saying, I can hear it in your voice. I can hear where you're going, and it's a bad place. And what you need to do is you need to stop doing the drugs. You need to not get pregnant. You need to focus on whatever you got going. Are you going to school at all?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I make pretty good grades.
Yeah, focus on that.
Please focus on that.
Get out of that family. Go to college somewhere.
Yeah, I know your family are all horrible losers. Please do not be one of them.
Well, I mean, it's not like I do coke a lot. I've done it maybe two or
Kristen,
three times.
You don't hear whatever. Forget the coke.
You know what huge losers your family is? Right? They're losers.
Well, my mom's a nurse. She makes like $40 an hour, so.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah. But she's been hooked on some pain meds and had a couple of bad marriages, right?
No, she just had like one bad marriage.
Okay. Here's all I'm saying. Stop doing the coke. You're 15, for Christ's sake, and quit screwing.
Yeah, just relax. Forget about the guys a little bit. Focus on school. Yeah. Stop the drugs.
Yeah.
You're going. You really forget. Don't defend what you're doing. It's just a matter of fact. You're going down a bad path. That's the fact.
Yeah, I can I can hear her voice. She sounds like burnt out white trash at 15. I know that voice. I know that voice. I see that you're going to have two kids and you're going to be picking at yourself
at
in a few years. Yeah,
19.
Just picking. Yeah. Bone skinny, sun blasted, just picking at yourself and chain smoking.
She's gonna move to Vegas or Florida.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you're going to Nevada. No, you might be going to Nevada, not Vegas.
Yeah.
That
Winnemucca.
Yeah, Winnemucca. We'll take a little break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Great Mimi Rogers has left the building.
So I told you. What? What?
I was having a laugh because I was telling, during the break, I usually just tell Drew what losers my parents were when I was growing up, and they never had any money, and I was miserable and felt trapped, and while I'm urinating. He's heard all the stories 1,000 times, but,
never stopped you.
My dad's a heavy guy, My dad, he's not into anything material.
Yeah.
He just, all he wants to do is take walks and read books and meditate and stuff because he's not into anything material. But he did call me the other day. And tell me that on the new car I got to lease him, he's looking at the luxury package. He wants the xenon headlights and the seat warmer.
How does that work?
Here's how it works. I pay another $86.50 a month. I think we'll get him. We'll give him the luxury package.
How do these people live with themselves?
Easily, you get a free car. How you think you'd make it okay with a free car? Can you be all right?
Yeah, but I wouldn't announce that I'm not interested in any of the more material aspects of living.
He doesn't demand them, but there's nothing wrong with heated seats and when you're backing up, it's got that deet-deet-deet-deet-deet as you get closer to the objects. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's good.
And the xenon headlights.
That's nice of him to look at that for you.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah. It's right. My dad, by the way, it's like, you know what I mean? My dad's like, listen, tell stepmom to get on the internet, find the car, go to the website, find the whatever, and then tell me, and then I'll tell them. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. And?
Well, there you go.
There you go.
Yeah, it's time to get a new ride. Yeah. Yeah.
What you gonna do?
Yeah, you get the luxury package.
Danielle?
Yeah, well, the Dalai Lama would want the luxury. Like if Gandhi was around, don't you think he'd want the luxury package?
What about Gandhi? The Dalai Lama would go for that stuff.
Yeah, like, hey, who the hell wants to sit on Naga Hide when he can sit on Connolly Leather?
Yeah.
Danielle?
She must be asleep.
71 minutes
sleeping
on hold?
Sleeping or gone? What do you think?
I'm not hearing anything.
Yeah.
I'm hearing dead. Now I'm hearing something.
Who's sleeping?
She is sleeping.
Yeah. Yeah, there she is. It's a nice 15-year-old, a thin 15-year-old girl's breathing.
Right. Yeah, wispy. I bet she's high. Yeah, she's calling.
It's so clear.
She's calling from Illinois. She's been on hold for an hour and 11 minutes. And it's 3 a.m. over there?
Close to that.
2 a.m.? What is it,
close
2 hours?
To 3. 2 hours, you're right.
Two. Okay. Should we move on to Allie? Because she's not novelty snoring.
No, it's kind of angelic snoring.
Let me ask rhetorical question here, Drew. How many other performers, and I consider myself an entertainer.
That's your first mistake.
Yeah. How many other entertainers actually experience their audience sleeping on a fairly regular basis?
It's a rare privilege.
Whether it's a plate spinner.
No, I think you're it. I think it's a rare privilege. You seem to overindulge in, perhaps.
How many other guys who host national shows have folks consistently sleeping on the other line? And what does that say about the host?
Well, it says maybe you might be assessing yourself more in a more positive light if you didn't even call yourself an entertainer.
Then you wouldn't be disturbed by it. Here's a hypothetical. Can you call yourself an entertainer whose audience falls asleep on them?
Routinely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think you can use the word entertainer.
It must be another word, yeah.
Yeah, and if
that's
it is entertainer, evidently not entertaining enough for Danielle of Illinois. Let's move forward. I bet this person's awake. Max?
Yep.
You're 27?
Yeah.
Look at you, bright-eyed and bushy-tailed.
What's up?
It's early, man.
What's happening, champ?
Just hanging out, doing my thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's it?
Yeah. Well,
here's all right. Okay.
Sorry about that. My problem is that my wife thinks that since I masturbate to pornography, that it's diminishing our sex life.
Mm-hmm. And how often do you do it?
Probably like 1 to 3 times a week.
Mm-hmm.
And is it cutting down on your sex drive?
Hold on.
No, not at all.
Five times
25
away.
25 times away. All right, and are you being intimate with her as much as she would like you to be?
Yeah, I mean, I try as much as possible. I mean, personally, I feel that it's on her end that...
Right, you got enough.
Is there a problem with her being jealous of all this, not feeling feeling that somehow she's not good enough, that business?
I don't think so, because when we do have sex, it's wonderful. But she hasn't expressed to me that she's jealous of it. She just says, you know, I've looked on the internet and et cetera, and I've found this information that, you know, if you masturbate to porn, then, you know, you're not going to want to make love to your wife.
Well, she did not say that. It's a bogus call if that's literally what you're claiming.
No. Okay, look, here's the thing. It depends. The women that have a problem with it are usually...
Insecure,
and it's usually something that happened in the past. Oh, and that doesn't mean overt abuse. And here's the thing.
Exploitation.
It's a level of degree.
Yeah.
No wife is going to welcome copious amounts of pornography into the home with open arms. Mm. If you're lucky, you get someone who sort of looks the other way. Or lets you have, you know, you got your thing, I got my thing, no problems. It's degrees. The ones that cry and look at it as cheating,
that's a problem,
are ones that are really whacked out and effed up and had some trauma. Yes. And his one doesn't seem that bad.
Yeah.
So she's a little saner.
Just tell her to forget it. It's fine.
Yeah. That's his thing. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Well, that's it, everybody. That's the week.
It's a good week.
Holy Christ.
Yeah.
A little Vicodin, and the week just melts away. I want to thank Phone Screener Brian for doing a wonderful job, the new and improved Phone Screener Brian. I want to thank Ken for filling in for
Anderson
all week long. So he missed...
the F word a couple times.
Jeremy Piven yell F face yesterday.
That's only national.
Other than that, he's done a wonderful job, and God bless him. I want to thank producer Ann for booking big names like Mimi Rogers and Jeremy Piven, and of course Junior producer Lauren for also doing a fantastic job. And speaking of Junior College Chris over here.
We'll be discussing his schedule.
That's right. That's right. Just another 17 years, and you get right out of that. You're right on your way to a three. Do they have a three-year college you could go to in between the junior and the four-year? Shouldn't there be a three-year? All right. We'll take a little break. Until next time, this is Adam Kroller for Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed in this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.